Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day to you. It's Monday, March 11th, 2013, and this is Foxology. I'm Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday, people. It is a great day already. How do I know this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I dared to wake up this morning with great things in mind, and all of you great people are a part of my great plan for today. Starts with a great attitude. That's how you get there, a great outlook, and sometimes a really great inward look. Maybe you had to get up swinging this morning because of issues and stuff and things, but here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to say to yourself, I may be in a fight to make this a great day, but I am making the decision right here and right now to float like a butterfly over all of it. I will make this a great day in spite of whatever is going on. I will win, not by default, but because I'm making a decision. I get the TKO. I am technically knocking out anything that gets in the way, bad attitudes, bad news, naysayers, trifling, small stuff, and petty things. You got all that? I hope so. You can do it. There's a champion in you, and it starts with your mindset. So you make this a great day. Glad to have you with me. We're going to be talking about something great that may inspire you today on Foxology. Sometimes in life, the rug gets pulled from under you. You may lose your job. You lose your home. You lose everything. And when you're in that place, you even begin to lose hope. My special guest today and I are going to talk about individuals and families who found themselves in unfortunate circumstances, seemingly without a place to find help. But there is one bright, shiny beacon of light coming from one of Houston's premier agencies assisting those in need, and that's the Star of Hope mission. Today I'll be talking with Scott Arthur. Scott is no stranger to radio and television. He's a veteran of both worlds, having hosted shows on both TV and radio, as well as directing and producing shows for PBS and other cable networks. He was inducted into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in 2009. Now, you know that's really special. And during these stellar pursuits and accomplishments, he also launched his own public relations firm, which ultimately led to an even higher calling in life for Scott, and that's serving as the public relations director at the Star of Hope mission. I'm so glad to have him with me today and you. Welcome, Scott.
Well, good morning, Sophie. You make me so nervous with all that. Now I don't know what to do. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know what? Based on what I know about you, just keep on showing up and shining because you are amazing. Thank you so much for taking time.
I'm going to be successful not by default, but by my fault.
In spite of your faults, right?
That's right.
Well, I tell you, I know you told me just briefly you've had quite a morning already, so I don't know if that's where you want to jump in at, but I'll say this, thank you, because I know that your demands at work are always calling upon you, and so to take this time to talk with me is real important and real special.
It is very special that you asked, and thank you so much. And it's great to not just have to be able to try and get all the points in 5 minutes. You know, this extended opportunity is just great. We love that.
If I may, let me
just get out my broad brushstroke and tell you that homelessness last year, 1.5 million people in America experienced some sort of homelessness. And every night, 750,000 people are homeless in America. And it's just
amazing. Wow.
And that includes about 100,000 families. Families are the largest increasing number of category of homeless in America today. We're seeing more families than we ever did before. And you know, it's just, it's sad, it's scary.
Yeah, it is. I think there is a notion for a lot of us when we see people who are out on the street, on corners, under freeways, on park benches. I think there's a notion that these are people who have just not given life their best shot. I think there's a notion that those are people who are just trying to get by and not wanting to put their best foot forward and find something more productive to be doing. But I know that I've learned, and I've learned from some research, and just because I'm a curious kind of person and I look around on the internet, this is not my first experience trying to get information. I read some things real recently. Oftentimes, as you have just stated, people have found themselves in these circumstances who had pretty decent and thriving lives, and something happened, and it flips the script, and all of a sudden, you are in a place that you never imagined that you could be. And I can only think how horrifying and scary, you know, you say it's scary. I can only imagine how horrifying and scary it is when you have been able to pay your bills and you've been able to keep a roof over your head, and now all of that's history. It means that they're at a starting point where they have to start looking for someone to help bridge from where they are back to a normal life. And why don't you speak to that? I know that there's story after story you can tell us, but when people are in that position, what's a good starting place? I know, of course, it's to find agencies like yours, but I love the name Star of Hope, so I guess you would probably say is not to lose hope, even though you've lost everything.
No, we are there to give hope, and it's really interesting because, and let me back up a little bit, you referred to people not really being aware of who the homeless are and why they're homeless. That guy on the street with the sign is just the tip of the iceberg. And most people, when they think homeless, think, okay, but, you know, there's that guy there, and I want to give him a couple of bucks because he has a cute sign, or he says he's a veteran, he has a little flag. And you know, and that may all be very valid and very true, but we find that, you know, in some cases, that guy on the street is a vendor. You know, he gets home, and at the end of the day, he gets into his pickup truck and goes home, you know, to a regular house because he's making 20, 30 bucks an hour. There are others that are just there long enough to score some money so that they can have drugs that night or go out and buy a bottle of wine, you know, and make it through the next day. And there are people that have no idea what day it is. You just never really know. But again, that's just the tip of the iceberg. A majority of the people, especially here in Houston, where we have 8,000 to 10,000 homeless men, women, and children, are just that, women and children, families. And most people don't see that as the face of homelessness, but it is. Now, there are two general types of homelessness, and you touched on one of them. One is generational, and the other is situational. And the one that you referred to is situational. That's where, let's say, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, last year were doing okay. You know, Mr. Jones was a teacher, and Mrs. Jones was a waitress. They had a couple of kids. They had a nice Christmas. They even gave a couple of bucks to charity, and things were going okay. Then Mr. Jones got laid off. Now, they're on the edge to begin with. They were living paycheck to paycheck, but they were okay. Now, there's a couple of months without a paycheck, so things are getting a little bit tough, and suddenly he's not able to pay his rent in the apartment, and they're getting foreclosure notices, and they're worried about that, but it's okay because Mrs. Jones is still working. Mrs. Jones falls and breaks her leg. Now, she can't work. Now there's going to be a problem. They probably are going to be put out of their apartment. But they don't leave the neighborhood, Silver, because the kids are still in school. They don't want to pull the kids out of school and create even more trauma. So they live in their car, and they wash up at the mall, and they don't tell any people. And maybe they're staying with relatives or friends. Then the car gets repossessed, or it gets too hot or too cold to stay in the car. And then eventually they're in abandoned buildings downtown. Or maybe they scrape enough money together to stay at a cheap motel for a couple of days, or maybe at a campground. And then finally, the last thing they're going to do is go into a shelter. Because when you go into a shelter, you pretty much hit the bottom. You've given it up. And we know that. And we have a shelter downtown as the Women and Family Emergency Shelter that is full of people just like that. It holds 296 people. We have 296 beds and 71 rooms. Listen to what I'm about to say. We have been over capacity at that shelter for the last 4 years. The last 4 years.
Wow.
Last night, 87 women and children slept on the floor of that shelter on pallets because we had no beds for them. But we still open up our arms. We turn nobody away at Starful. We open up our arms to them and we help them any way we can. And that Women and Family Emergency Shelter is like a big ER room for the homeless. We have them in a crisis situation, and we take them, we help them, we stabilize them, we feed them, we make sure that the kids are okay, make sure that everybody is clothed and everybody is as stable as possible. Then we'd be able to point them into different agencies. We work with over 38 different agencies. We're a family of ministries, and we guide them. We give them basically a safe house where they can work out of and anchor all of their efforts, or we help them with that as well. So you get people who were just normal, that you were shopping next to at Target and Walmart a year ago, are now in a homeless shelter looking around going, what the heck happened? We can't believe we are here. Now, there's another category, which is the generational. These are people who maybe mom with two or three kids, and they live in a shelter for 90 days. Then they live in another shelter for 60 days. Then they go stay with friends and relatives. They may go to a little motel for a while. They may go on the street corner and collect some money and live somewhere else for a while. We came across a six-year-old boy last year that had never been in a permanent home. And they don't know that this is wrong because mom was raised the same way. So what we try and do at Star of Hope is give these people an opportunity to get tools to change their lives, to become employable. We help them with all sorts of life lessons and life achievements. We help them with parenting classes. We help them with personal development curriculum. We help them learn how to maybe create a budget and balance a checkbook and cook a nutritious meal. We have counseling both for parents and for the families. And we're there for them to make sure that they have the opportunity to change their lives, become employable, and break that cycle.
That's an amazing work, Scott. I want to know, you said something in the order of explaining how a family can end up coming to a shelter. It was just a very interesting order that you put things in, and you even said, as a last resort, they go to a shelter. My question is that because there has to be a certain place that they have reached as far as really being financially outcast, or is it because of their pride, or shouldn't it be higher on the list that they think this might be a segue for us before we hit rock bottom?
It differs with the individual, and that's a great question. And not just for families, but for the men on the street, too. There's probably 2,000 to 3,000 street homeless here in Houston, and these guys do not want to go into a shelter. They call themselves Vikings. They'll stay out there in the extreme elements, too hot, too cold, it's okay. You know, give me a bottle of wine, give me my drugs, I'll stay out here. I don't want to go into a shelter because they don't want the responsibility. They don't want the accountability. They don't want the structure. And a lot of that has to do with pride. And also a lot of that has to do with mental illness. 80% at least of the people out on the street have some sort of diagnosable mental illness. You know, whether it be just depression or some sort of paranoia or full-blown schizophrenia. it just happens that way. After a while, you're on the streets, and the exposure to the drugs and the substance abuse. So a lot of these people just aren't making great decisions. So what we do is we have a men's ministry, and it's called the Love in Action Band. And this outreach ministry literally reaches out to these thousands of people at least five times a week and tells them, come on, get into the van, let's get you down to the shelter, and let's change your life. A lot of them don't want to do that because of pride or because of panic, and they decide, no, they don't want to do it. But we're in their face a couple of times a week at least, and you know, eventually we establish some sort of a relationship, a trust with them, and they one day say, okay, I'm ready to change my life. They get in the van, and we start our process.
Well, that's really terrific, and I just want to qualify what you said. The people who are out on the street, you're referring to people that many of us see again, that are the regulars on the corners and on the islands, you know, when you're at the stoplight and under the freeway. You're talking about those who have chosen a lifestyle of being on the street rather than choosing to get the help that you offer. You're not talking about the families that you just described. Those are categorically different scenarios. Is that right?
That's correct. The families are mostly, especially the children, are victims of homelessness. A lot of the families are there not only because of what I just described before, an economic collapse, but also substance abuse, a lot of domestic violence, human trafficking. There are so many sad reasons for people, for families to appear at our front door.
Okay. Well, this is Scott. You know what I'd like to do is talk about when that family reaches out. You have an extraordinary, extraordinary organization. So let's talk about how they get started with that process, and let's take a little bit of a walk through what happens when they step out. It's no doubt to me that there will be people who will hear this broadcast who may know they need to do something that they've never done, and that's reach out for this kind of help. So let's start with what happens. They make a phone call to you. They show up at your door inside the entrance there. What happens next?
What we do is we'll have the Women and Family Emergency Shelter. And again, as I say, we are pretty much overcrowded. We are over capacity on a regular basis. Some people say, well, you know, how come they can't go anywhere else? We are the other place. You know, we're it. There's only 5,000 available beds for all the homeless in Houston, and there's almost twice that many. So that's a challenge to begin with. If somebody looks like they're on the edge, or somebody suddenly has all the dominoes collapse on them and they are out on the streets, they come to Star of Hope regardless of whether we have room or not. We're going to help them. We'll sit with them. We'll counsel them. And if they need a place to stay that night, we will be that place. They get up in the morning, maybe we can help them with other agency help. Or if they just need a place to anchor while they go and they talk to relatives and talk to friends and try and get themselves together, we are that place. They can stay with us at the Women and Family Emergency Shelter for up to 90 days. And as long as they're productive, they are more than welcome to stay. I mean, it's not a flop house. You just can't go and just say, okay, give me three meals a day and this and that. We work with them. We have programs. We have motivational lectures. We are very faith-based. And more importantly, we take care of the children. We take care of
Scott.
Yes, let's try that again.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I just decided to remain silent because I figured you'd be calling back. And
well, here we
are. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, no problem. Hmm? We were talking about the children, and that's so very important because sometimes the children are victims and they are so neglected because the last thing that mom or dad wants to think about right now is the child's, let's say, work in school because they're trying to survive and get the next meal at that point. So when they come in and we have kids, and we have about 150 children at that Women and Family Emergency Shelter. We have another 150 at another shelter. So we take care of about 300 kids every single day at the Women and Family and Transitional Living Centers of Star Pope. We get them in the school within 48 hours of them coming to the front door of our shelter. So we make sure that they have got school supplies and uniforms and shoes and everything they need to blend into a school system immediately. Make sure that they get snacks, they get breakfast in the morning. When they come back from school, we give them snacks. We have some people work with them. We do tutoring. We have somebody work with them on their homework. We have Bible studies. And we're just there for them. And in every single case, their marks, of course, shoot up because someone is now focusing on them and taking care of them. And we're there for them with trips and summer camp and things like that so that, again, mom and dad can relax and focus a little bit more on recovery as opposed to taking care of the children. So that's very important as well.
When they come in, Scott, I'm sure they're feeling a lot of vulnerabilities. And I know that there has to be some type of process. And I love it that you say you don't turn anyone away, but there probably has to be some type of paperwork, evaluations, and things like that. And I'm only asking that question because I want people to know what to expect.
Absolutely. What happens if, let's say, somebody arrives at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're going to open up our doors and say, look, you can sleep here on a pallet on the floor. We want to embrace you, get you off the streets. And they wake up the next morning, and we make sure they get a shower and a meal. And then they go into what they call the place of grace. It's an intake process. And we have 3 or 4 counselors that will sit and say, okay, what can I do for you? How did things go wrong? What do you need from us? You know, or maybe we could suggest some direction you can go in. And that's the first step. And if they need to just use the Star of Hope as an anchor for about 90 days while they get themselves together, utilizing our emails and our 3 meals a day and our shelter and our child care. We have licensed child care. We are there for them for that. What they also might want to do is just say, look, I just need a couple of days to get myself together. That's fine as well. After 90 days of this process, maybe being at the Women and Family Emergency Shelter, they have the option, if they like, to go on to our Transitional Living Center. And that is basically an apartment complex. It's room for 63 families and 44 single women. And this is a 12 to 18-month process. And this is where we hook them up with all these great recovery programs where they have a computer learning center. We help them with the GED if they don't have one of those, career development curriculum. We work with them to help them become employable. We do mock job interviews. We help them with resumes. We do Dress for Success. We have parenting classes. We have personal development curriculum, spiritual life program, and very, very important, we have a New Hope Substance Abuse Recovery Program, which is extremely effective. And they can stay there for up to 12 to 18 months. About halfway through that process, we encourage them to get a job. And even while they're working, they can still stay with us so they can put some money in the bank and get a head start on life.
Well, the one thing that I love about that is that you are helping make the major difference, and that's changing everything for them. I can only, again, imagine what you feel like when you find yourself in that place, and you guys are helping to actually make a difference, make a change in their lives. I'm wondering, you give them up to 90 days when they're in the emergency shelter. Do a lot of people find themselves kind of getting it together on their own in that period?
Yeah, very much so. And actually, if they're in other programs that our agencies are working with them on, we let them stay past the 90 days as long as they're productive. You know, and some people stay 10 days, some people stay 90. You know, every single circumstance is different. I mean, there are no cookie-cutter circumstances whatsoever. Everybody has a different reason for being at the shelter. Some people in the summer come and say, okay, we are from Oklahoma, and we're coming here to look for work. The kids are out of school right now. We thought this was a good time to move. We heard Houston is great. We don't have a place to stay right now, but we need to stay in the shelter for a couple of days. Okay, we're here for you, if that's what you need. And sometimes they come here and the job doesn't work out, and after a month, they don't have a place to stay. We're here for them as well.
I want to know how you manage those who you mentioned may have emotional or psychological drug addiction issues. Do you offer a program other than the counseling that offers some type of medical attention for people as well?
What we do is, in the place of grace, when we have, let's say, a triage, it's just basically a check-in process. If we find that there is a large problem with mental health, then we will call up another agency. We'll call the MHMRA. Or there are police agencies that will help and help with the, you know, the mental challenges there. They will take them maybe to Bentop or whatever. Now, if we have a situation where we actually have a program that is helped out by the New Hope process, HUD project. It's called New Haven. And we have, I think right now, about maybe 14 women from the Women and Family Emergency Shelter who are in their own apartments. They are mentally challenged, but they are functional. And these are people who probably will never be able to get a job on their own, but they are homeless, and we reach out to them, and we're there for them. We give them breakfast every morning, but they have their own place off campus to stay. So that's a help as well. We are just there. We're constantly monitoring, because as we say, 80% of the folks who are on the street homeless have some sort of a mental diagnosable problem. So we're quite aware of that. We have agencies that we can defer to, and we're just there for everybody as long as they need us.
It's really fantastic. Now, I know you guys also feed a number of people every day. It's an incredible number. And
yeah,
I want you to talk about that. And then I also saw in some information that you sent me, you're even sending a few people off. And I don't mean that you're paying for their college career, but you were proud to mention that there were several people who have come through your program and are now headed for college.
Yeah, we had 9 seniors last year graduate and go on to college, all on scholarships. And that just blows me away that, you know, we have between 20 and 30 teenagers at any given time. And imagine being a teenager.
That's something to brag about.
Imagine being a homeless teenager with no identity. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, our staff here just really works with them. We have youth counselors, and they become very successful. Food-wise, we serve about 20,000 meals every single week. We go through about 2 tons of food a month. Star of Hope takes care of 1,150 homeless men, women, and children every single day in 3 facilities. It's huge. And by the way, I wanted to add something. You were talking about substance abuse before. We do have at our Transitional Living Center a substance abuse recovery program, which is 90 days, extremely intense, and very successful.
You know, I just keep thinking, amazing. You know, I think that if more people were aware of the opportunities to reach out to an organization like yours, when I say that, I'm not talking about the homeless individual or family itself, but again, people who are listening, who it's not them, but it's somebody they know, if they could even step in the gap and get people going in the right direction. Sometimes it's unfortunate, but you see a family member or an old friend or someone who's fallen on hard times, and all you do is shake your head rather than extend your hand in some way. And I don't mean that you literally have to bring them into your home, but just being aware of the structure of an organization that's doing the great things that you are, to know, to recommend this as an opportunity to get them back on their feet. It's just incredible. I'm hoping, I always have a goal, Scott, when I do these shows. One of them is to provide information. I just believe in it. If one person can learn something from this, and even someone who really needs help find their way to your door, then I've been successful at what I attempted to do. But as I listened to what you're saying, again, I think of people that I see every day when I'm in my car that, I'm going to make sure that I mention, that this is a place where if you really want to find independence and a life of your own again, there's an opportunity here to do that. So I'm hoping that people in this area will get that same inclination. The other thing is, I hope that people from other cities will see that there is a very fine model in effect that can be duplicated time and time again to help people who need it. And it's not one of those situations where, you need to ask too many questions. People do find themselves in difficult situations for one reason or another, and you mentioned one scenario, but there are many. And so it is always my hope that there's some way that there's a ripple effect from the information that I put out there that will help people in some way or another be inspired to do something, whatever their part is or can be, to make a difference in the life of someone else. So this has been an extremely enlightening conversation, to say the least. I want to ask you before I let you go, because you had an extremely successful career in media, and you really switched gears. And I'm just wondering, would you share with us what made you make the decision to become a part of an organization like this? I know from talking to you that you love it, but tell us how that all occurred.
Well, an interesting question. Basically, I was in broadcasting for about 43 years, here in Houston about 18 years, and probably about maybe 13, 14 years ago, I was on the radio, and I had a public relations firm as well, because I had a morning show, so I was done at 10 o'clock in the morning. I got bored, so I started a PR firm, and one of my clients was the Hard Rock Cafe here in Houston, and they were doing a 5K run for something called the Star of Hope. So I helped them promote that. And the Star of Hope said, could you maybe help us promote us? And I met with them, and I said, well, I have a full-time job, but I'll be more than happy to help you, with press liaison and stuff like that. So I did that for them on the side for 13 years. And then they said, we have a full-time opening here. Could you come and help us with public relations and media? And I thought, you know what? I have had a whole lifetime of everything, like writing radio copy, producing, directing, being in both sides of the camera, both sides of the microphone, in public relations as well. God has obviously laid all of this out for me so I could be in this position right now, use all of those skills, and help people every single day. So it's a dream job.
It sure is. And what you were doing prior to that, most people would have said that would be their dream job. But when, as you said, when God lines it up, you can't get a bigger dream going than that. Why don't you tell people about your website, about the blog, how they can find that? I did put it on the Blog Talk Radio site for Foxology, but why don't you go ahead and put that out there too?
I did. I saw that. Thank you. You can call us at 713-748-0700, 713-748-0700, or if you like, we're at SOH Mission, that's like Star of Hope, SOH mission.org. We have a very, very extensive and excellent website that can show you all sorts of things. You can share, you can see videos, you can see testimonies, you can see faces with some of the stories that I've been telling, and many different opportunities to help Starved Hope, whether it be financially, volunteer-wise, in-kind donation-wise. We need all the help we can get because we offer so much to so many people. And the city of Houston is probably one of the most generous cities in the world. And they haven't let us down yet. We have a $23 million budget that we have to make that budget every single year. We just barely do with the help of the city. 98% of our funding comes from the community, people like who are listening right now. So thank you so much, and please continue to help.
You know, Scott, I was going to say, I'm sure you need every penny of that based on the services that you all offer.
Absolutely. And I will tell you that we have a rather lofty goal. By 2015, we intend to double the number of people that we serve, and we will do that.
I have no doubt that you will. I want to thank you so much again for being my special guest today and praying for every goal to be reached and hoping with you that everybody that you can possibly touch will find their way to your door to get what you guys have to offer. So, again, thank you. I'll look forward to checking in with you again sometime down the road. Once we get some more of these programs launched, we'll share with people what you're doing new and additionally since we've talked the last time. So I want to wish you a great day and go back and continue to, I think you had a few good little fires you had to put out this morning, so I'll let you go and do that, Scott. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity, and God bless you.
You too. Have a good one. I want to thank all of you for tuning in with me today as well. I'm just excited to have shared with you information on the Star of Hope Agency. Again, that's here in Houston, but you know what? You can lend a helping hand wherever you are. Find out what they're doing in your area and see if you need to take somebody by the hand, not necessarily literally, but let them know that there's help somewhere. You know, you just never know when you'll find yourself in a crisis situation, and you know, it's just not good for us to make any judgments. We see what we see, and we see somebody that needs help, and so we just offer that if we can. Boxology will continue Mondays at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Tell your friends. Get on Facebook. Let them know through Twitter. Let them know on LinkedIn. Whatever you have going on social media, let them know that we're here. We're going to be bringing powerful and positive information and insights on a variety of topics each week. Again, I want to thank you for listening. Appreciate you so much. I'm going to look forward to talking to you again next time. In the meantime, make the rest of your day the best of your day. Thank you so much for listening.